And as they make their way out, I would ask you to take your copy of God's Word and turn with me, not to Luke's second volume this morning, but to the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, Hebrews chapter 13. We left Paul last, having left Berea and gone to Athens. And we'll be taking an extended break from our current Sunday morning series through the book of Acts. As we're about to enter the Advent season, we'll pick back up with the Apostle Paul in Athens on the second Lord's Day of the new year. And today marks an occasion that warrants a special message from the Word of God. Today is a day of remembrance for many of us here at Dayspring. I always mark this day, November the 29th, by driving out to the cemetery in Junction and laying fresh tulips on the graves of Jackson and Barbara Boyette and spending time remembering them, remembering their life, their work, their impact upon me, upon my family, and upon so many of you. Now, for those of you who may be visiting us today or who may be listening online and may not know who Jackson and Barbara are, Jackson Boyette was the founding pastor of this church, and Barbara was his loving and supportive bride for so many years. 4 years ago today, to the day, the Lord, in his kind providence, answered their longtime prayer to be taken home to glory together. I'm sure that there are some who might rather forget than remember that, and there is certainly a danger in dwelling too much on the past and even living in the past in a very unhealthy way without moving forward. But I want to show you from Scripture this morning that the Lord does give us the New Testament commandments to remember. To remember. Hebrews chapter 13, and look with me at verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I'm not sure how often you may have meditated on this particular verse of Scripture, but I believe this is a fairly clear and straightforward one with a simple and easy-to-understand message for us, which should not take very long this morning to unpack for you, which is a good thing since I have a rather long drive ahead of me. Well, as we meditate and reflect upon this verse together this morning, I want you to notice with me that there are three primary responsibilities that God gives to his people with regard to their leaders who have ministered to them in the past. Three responsibilities. And they are each given in these imperatives, in these commandments that we see here in this verse. I want to consider each one briefly. The first is to remember. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. The second is to consider the outcome of their way of life. And the third is the command of imitation, to imitate their faith. And therefore, if we are to follow God's word, if we're to obey our Lord, we don't simply grieve the loss of a faithful leader and then move on. But we see that we have a significant ongoing connection to the past and a spiritual responsibility before God that is upon us here in the present in relation to our past church leaders. God wants us to remember, to consider, and to imitate the life of our founding pastor, Jackson Boyette, and indeed all of our leaders who have gone before us, who were faithful to live out and to proclaim the gospel. that will be a different group of leaders for different people who are here today. But I encourage you today to reflect upon and to remember your leaders who spoke to you the word of God. And so let's begin at the beginning as we seek first to remember our leaders, those who spoke to us the word of God. And the first thing I want you to see here is that the word that the author uses here for leader can refer to all kinds of leaders, civil authorities, academic leaders, as well as religious shepherds. And so the qualifier here is important. Those who spoke to you the word of God. In other words, those who were given and called to preaching the word of God among the people, to labor in teaching them God's word. So it's referring to your pastors. I'm sure all five of your pastors would agree that this is a sobering thought, that there is this threefold command in Scripture. The second thing I want you to note is that it's not referring yet to your current pastors who are presently laboring among you. It is referring to those who have already died. There's no point in remembering someone who is standing in front of you. You don't need to remember him because he's right there in front of you. The one that you are likely to forget is the one who is no longer with you, one who, past tense, spoke to you the word of God. And so the Holy Spirit is commanding us not to forget those who were our leaders, who labored to preach and to teach God's word to us. We're being told here that we have the responsibility of remembering them. So what does it mean to remember them? Does it perhaps mean that we are to think about how deep a hole has been left by their departure and to dwell on our loss and long for days gone by and wallow in sorrow and in sadness and in self-pity? Or does it perhaps mean that we are to venerate and adore and proclaim their life to the world? Neither of these things, as we will see in a moment, it means considering their life and imitating their faith in Jesus. And it means recollecting what they have spoken and done in obedience to the Lord Jesus. This is a very Hebrew and a very biblical practice. The very notion of remembering the past, the discipline of history, it comes to us from the ancient Hebrews. Believe it or not, for the other ancient cultures of the world, history was more or less meaningless to them. At the core, the world pretty much stayed as it was, moving at best in cycles, like the cycles of the seasons. But the Hebrews had a deep God-given sense of history. It was important for them to raise their Ebenezers, to remember what the Lord had done, what had come before, even down to the minutiae of who had beget who and then who had beget who after that. Recall when Stephen was being martyred. He recited the history of God's people. And it was one leader after another that he was speaking about. Abraham, Moses, David. Why? Because the scripture comprised the writing down of those remembrances. And it's not just the Old Testament. How is it that we are able to know the life and ministry and death and resurrection, the marvelous works and the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth? Four men took the time to remember and investigate and put together an orderly and accurate account of the life and ministry of Jesus in the world. And they presented them to us so that 2,000 years later, you and I have no doubt whatsoever regarding how Jesus came into the world, born of a virgin, what Jesus did and said, and who he is, and what he has accomplished, and where he is now. And even the early church leaders, men such as Peter and Paul, we have it, the book of Acts, it's there for us, given to us by those who knew the importance of remembering. David Sitton and I have often said to one another that whenever we have time, we want to put together an orderly and accurate account of the life and ministry of Jackson in the form of a Christian biography. May the Lord give us the time. Here God is saying to us, remember your leaders. Take the time to reflect and recollect. You see, the problem in forgetting the pillars who have gone before us, upon whose shoulders we stand, is that we can begin to compare ourselves to ourselves in our own lukewarmness, so that at the end of the day, we are not being inspired to a radical faith lived out. We're not being challenged. And so it's critical that we remember and not forget our leaders, those who spoke to us the Word of God. Those of you who knew Jackson, remember his great love. His great love. How generous he was to open up his heart to you, to give you his time, to give you his ear, to give you his hugs, his great big hugs, and his insights, and his counsel, and everything with abundant hospitality. Remember how he treated you as though you were more important to him than himself. Remember his great love and compassion, which so magnificently reflected the love and compassion of Jesus. Remember his teaching. Remember his remarkable illustrations and his sermons. Remember how he constantly pointed us to our Savior, to our sovereign, invincible God. You may have noticed in your insert that there are writings that were copied there for you. This comes from the church archives, from sermon notes. Jackson would write out his sermons by pen on these little pieces of paper, and this comes from a message on this very passage. I included the last three pages of that for you to see how Jackson labored for us in preparing to proclaim to us, to speak to us, the Word of God. When I tell other pastors about Jackson, they are absolutely blown away that there was a man who for over three decades preached and proclaimed the Word of God on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday evenings, for over 30 years, just a labor of love. Remember how he preached to us the gospel. We're so blessed in our day and age to have recordings of almost every sermon that Jackson preached, and many of his Bible studies, a great number of them are available for free online, and more are being made available each week as servants among you labor to digitize and to upload the Word of God he spoke to us. We have that as a tremendous treasure, a resource to help us to remember. I encourage you, go back and listen. And for those of you who never knew Jackson, never heard him, I encourage you also to go and listen, familiarize yourself, learn from and listen to our former leader who spoke to us the Word of God. You can also take time to get together with your fellow Dayspringers, particularly with those whom you have the least in common due to being from different generations or different backgrounds or a different place in life or different personalities. Get together and tell your unique stories about Jackson. Share personal memories about his life and teaching which has impacted your personal walk as a way to follow this New Testament commandment to remember. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Secondly, consider the outcome of their way of life. Consider the outcome of their way of life. So in this second responsibility, you're moving now from significant remembrances to critical analysis. You're asking yourself, is this valuable? Is this way of life worth it? And the way that you evaluate, the way that you know whether something is valuable, whether something is worth it, is by going to its ultimate end. That's why God says, consider the outcome of their way of life. From the end point, consider, evaluate, ask yourself, is this a life worth living? At the time in which the author of Hebrews is writing this, many of their leaders who had spoken to them the word of God, they would have suffered terribly for their faith. There were many arrested. There were many beaten. There were many tortured, imprisoned, and put to an untimely and painful death. One image which is burned into my mind, not forever. The Lord will remove it at the consummation of all things. But until then, I'll never forget these images. When I took the stand in the criminal trial of the drunk driver who killed Jackson and Barbara, and for legal identification purposes, I was shown photographs of the badly bruised and swollen and disfigured bodies of our loved ones. And I was asked to carefully examine them for the court and then tell the jury who these two human beings were. And you know, some in our day and age would say, all right, so let's consider the outcome of their way of life. There it is in those images. The outcome is that before they could enjoy retirement, before they had a full life, right there in their prime, they were struck down. And there's no children to carry on their family name, no grandchildren, not much of anything to show for it at all. Their way of life, it wasn't worth it. Their way of life was pointless. They would have done better to have simply lived for themselves, to have enjoyed the pleasures of this world and the riches of this life. Or perhaps they would have done better to devote themselves to a worthwhile cause, to ending world poverty, or to advancing modern medicine, or to better government, or climate change, or to anything useful and sensible, rather than something as outdated and offensive and obsolete as the Christian church. But friends, the timeless wisdom of scriptures, it says that the fool is the one who says in his heart, there is no God. Our leaders who spoke to us the word of God, just as the leaders of these Hebrew believers were, they were engaged in the most enduring, the most vital, the most significant work as ambassadors of the King of Kings, heralding his great and glad tidings, faithfully serving as under-shepherds for the chief shepherd of our souls, declaring the gospel, tirelessly serving and ministering to others in the name of Jesus. You know, part of the outcome of Jackson's way of life is this church. And I'm not talking about this building that we happen to be in today, but you, the people who have been built up in your faith, indelibly transformed by the life and the ministry of our founding pastor. You are an outcome of Jackson's way of life. If you've been impacted by his life of ministry, which was poured out into the lives of others. And you know what? If the Lord tarries, coming generations of Dayspringers will have the blessing of a faithful benchmark, because they too will have this life lived well, a life lived wisely, a life that has been remembered and considered and passed down for the good of this congregation. And those battered bodies seized by death, that's not the outcome of their way of life, because death doesn't have the final word. Ultimately, the outcome of their way of life is glory. Glory with the Lord Jesus and all the family of God in joyful adoration and worship of our God. See, Jackson was born into this world as all of us were, under the just judgment and wrath of God. Jackson was a great sinner, which is why I don't preach Jackson. I don't preach Jackson. I preach Jackson's God. I preach Jesus, the Savior of Jackson. Jackson was a great sinner saved by grace. His rebellious heart had to be dealt with by our sovereign God. And it was at an early age, the Lord opened his heart to receive the gospel. And so he saw the loveliness of Christ, and he called upon his name and trusted in him alone for salvation, so that he was eternally saved, so that when he died, he was taken immediately into the loving presence of Jesus, so that his sure and certain outcome is not death, and it's not judgment, but it is union with Christ, and ultimately, physical reunion with all who are united to Christ in a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells and sorrow is no more. And if you're here today, if you're listening and you have not repented of your sins and trusted in the Lord Jesus alone, I say to you as he would say to you, now is the day of salvation. If you turn from your sins, if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died in the place of his people, who rose for them, who lived a righteous life for them, you will be saved from judgment. You will be saved to forever be with Jesus and with his people. On the first Sunday after November the 29th, 2011, I read the following words from this pulpit, and it's fitting for you to hear them again today. They're the words of a leader who spoke to the church the word of God. Listen to what the 18th century pastor Matthew Henry wrote as his very last words from his deathbed, to be read to his friends and to his family, his loved ones, after his passing. He asks and answers five questions that anyone who's lost a beloved pastor would want to hear answered. He writes, "Would you like to know where I am? I am at home in my Father's house, in the mansions prepared for me here. I am where I want to be, no longer on the stormy sea, but in God's safe, quiet harbor. My sowing time is done, and I am reaping. My joy is as the joy of harvest. Would you like to know how it is with me? I am made perfect in holiness. Grace is swallowed up in glory. Would you like to know what I am doing? I see God, not as through a glass darkly, but face to face. I am engaged in the sweet enjoyment of my precious Redeemer. I am singing hallelujahs to him who sits upon the throne, and I am constantly praising him. Would you know what blessed company I keep? It is better than the best on earth. Here are the holy angels and the spirits of just men made perfect. I am with many of my old acquaintances with whom I worked and prayed and who have come here before me. Lastly, would you know how long this will continue? It is a dawn that never fades. After millions and millions of ages, it will be as fresh as it is now. Therefore, weep not for me. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life. And finally, imitate their faith. Imitate their faith. It's not enough merely to remember and to consider. But our remembering and our considering, it is meant to lead us to a different way of living as we put into practice, into our daily lives, that which we remember and consider regarding the faith of our leaders who have gone before us. Jackson was flesh and blood among us. We saw him live his life. Some of you for 34 solid years. A couple of you even longer than that. He was transparent, and you knew him. You lived life with him. You saw how his faith impacted every area of his life. And God is saying, in this verse, God is saying, go and do likewise. Go and live this kind of life. Live like Daniel in Babylon. Live like the Apostle Paul in Rome. Live like Pastor Jackson in America. That's the command. That's the challenge that comes to us, to emulate our leaders, to deliberately recollect their lives, to see the value and the worthiness of their way of life, see the outcome of it, and then imitate their faith. The very next verse, verse 8, against several commentators, it is surely not disconnected from the main thought here in verse 7. Verse 8 says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. In other words, the Savior, who was the object of every sermon Jackson ever preached, who persevered Jackson in his faith, who was with him through every trial, every affliction, who provided the standard and the model for his life. He is the same Savior who will persevere you in your faith and who will be with you through every trial and every affliction and who provides the standard and the model for your life. Jesus is not changing. He's not downgrading because it's another generation being raised up. No, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. So it only makes sense then to imitate those who took up their cross daily and followed him, who were being transformed into his image, who were energized and directed by his life. The Holy Spirit is saying, look at the faith lived out by your leaders, and then say to one another, say to yourself, this is what we ought to do. This is how I ought to live. This is how I ought to be. The faith that Jackson had in Jesus ought to be the faith that you have today. And so let me stop here and ask you this question. Are you imitating the faith of your leaders who spoke to you the word of God? Those whose outcome was to hear the lips of Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or are you simply missing them and dealing with the loss in your own way and trying to move on? I'm asking because if you're simply trying to cope and move on, you're missing the whole point of what the Lord is teaching here and the whole of what he is commanding us to do. God has blessed us. The Lord has given us mighty shoulders to stand upon. We are treading where giants have trod. And you are bearing up under and persevering through many afflictions in this life. Are you doing so as Jackson bore up under and persevered through his many, numerous afflictions, childlessness, sleep apnea, loss of loved ones, unbelieving family members, heart surgery, a broken hip, personal betrayal, slander, being underappreciated and taken for granted? Or are you meeting the needs of others with the open-hearted love that Jackson demonstrated? Are you facing the rage of Satan with the laughter of Jackson? Are you imitating his faith? God forbid that we forget our leaders, that we fail to properly consider the outcome of their way of life, and that we neglect to imitate their faith. May God help us as we go back home today, as we go back to our routines, as we enter into this busy season of the year. May God help us to take the time to remember and to seriously and thoughtfully consider and to change and to change, to become true soldiers of the cross, true sojourners, true disciples, and true believers, closer followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that in your great mercy, you have gifted us with leaders who spoke to us your word. Help us, Lord, never to forget them. Cause us to often consider the end, to consider the outcome of their way of life. And by your Holy Spirit, let that be our way also. Cause us to delight in you, to walk by faith in the steps left behind for us by faithful leaders as they followed Jesus. It is for his sake and in his matchless name we pray. Amen.